Welcome to the Beer and Loathing Podcast, number one. Well, the first public release of a podcast. Hoping that this goes well. I'm Pete M. I'm joined by Sam Sly.
What up?
We are from different parts of the country. I'm in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Sam's in good old Denver, Colorado.
Yep, the D-Town.
Mm-hmm. No, well, Detroit's the D-Town. Don't.
Well, for you. Well, I live on Detroit Street in Denver, so I'm keeping it real for the most part. God, I'm talking like a thug. Why am I doing that? Yeah, so we're kind of rocking two sides of the country enjoying beers as we can from wherever we can get them. So it's been a pretty good little blessing, actually. You know, moving away from Michigan, it was bittersweet. But I love it out here, and the beer's fantastic. And thanks to Pete and a few other good friends back in Michigan, I can still get a few tastes of home, and I can send them back some of the good old beers that I'm drinking here. So it's been a really cool experience for all of us.
And in a pretty cool turn of events that even Sam Sly doesn't even know about, I have two KBS that are coming his way.
Oh, boom!
Snap, bitch.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty cool.
I'm excited for that.
You know that picture that Michael has where he dropped the KBS, like the whole fucking case of them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one of those four packs, not the three pack, one of those four packs is mine, and two are going out to you.
Nice.
Yeah, enjoy it.
You are my hero.
I think I'm going to use the other two for trading. I had that KBS on tap yesterday. I was good with that.
Oh, yeah?
I think I'll use the other two to get rarer beers.
Oh, right on.
Trading.
I'd say do it. It's worth it.
So this is our venue where we sort of just give out news instead of concentrating on opinion. Don't get us wrong. We still like to loathe about shit because that's just what we do and it's in our nature. But this is more like concentrating on the news aspect of everything.
It's a progression. We got a blog at beerandloathing.com where we write about experiences and whatever other rantings kind of come up. And it started actually as a website, an idea Pete and I had a couple years ago where we were going to rate really shitty beers. You know, give all the Strohs, the Pabsts, the Black Labels of the world.
The Gold Mines, the Hams. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Well, it's amazing how many fucking gross beers we found, like all the Pig's Eyes and stuff. But
so many generic just piss lagers.
Yeah. Yeah, so we were going to give them all a review, you know, tongue-in-cheek and rip on them a little bit or just have some fun with it. And then we realized, well, this just gets old because how many different ways can you say a beer tastes like piss? About one. So.
Yeah. Or 16 if you count all the beers that we tried.
This beer tastes like piss. This beer, comma, tastes like piss.
This beer, hyphen.
Yeah. So. Piss. That never really flourished, and now we're reinvigorating it with kind of the idea of just talking about beer culture. You know, we don't want to rate beers. We don't want to talk about what, I don't know. We just like to talk about beer in general because beer is a journey. You know, we're all drinking different beers for different reasons, and I'd say let's just talk to anyone that's enjoying one and see why they're drinking what they're drinking and what they think about it.
And not be pretentious about it either.
No. No, I mean that. I'm drinking a Two-Hearted right now, but I mean, I am stoked as hell to just go buy a case of Strohs in the next couple days so I can have a fridge full of just easy drinking Detroit River water.
Indeed.
Even though it's not made in Detroit.
It's not anymore, sadly.
What are you drinking, Pete?
All right, so the first beer that I have on hand is the 1050 that you sent me, the Imperial Stout.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then the second one is from Crown Valley Brewing.
Okay.
It's their double IPA, and they're both good. I actually haven't had the 1050, but I'm assuming it's really good. But I know for a fact that the double IPA is awesome.
That's cool, man. That was interesting that at the serving temperature they recommend for that double IPA. That's still kind of...
Yeah, 57 to 61.
Boggles my mind.
Yeah, that's pretty warm for an IPA.
That's warm for a lot of beers.
So let's kick this off. I'm gonna start with a little thing called the Tappet.
Shit.
Yeah. So it's basically a CO2 injector for a growler, to keep your growler.
Oh, nice.
You know, fresh, which is pretty cool. I don't know, it has a little CO2 tank that you might put in a paintball gun on it, and it just keeps everything pressurized, keeps it from going flat.
That's badass, man. I like that.
It's pretty cool. I was actually thinking what a worthless invention it is, though, because I always drink my growler. Within like the first hour that I have it. Not really, but I mean, first I always hour. Drink it that same night, you know, like I don't pick up a growler unless somebody's going to be drinking it with me. And if we don't have more than two beers that night, I'm just going to be pissed anyway.
Yeah, I could see this being big in a lot of places. Like I know Florida is big on growlers because a lot of their breweries don't bottle it and sell it. It's all just available at the tap house. So the only way to get a beer and take it home or get it to your house is with a growler. And, you know, I'm sure everyone in Florida doesn't want to just go to a brewery and then slug back a couple of growlers in 3 days.
Oh, shit. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, that's why that growler bill is kind of well, I don't know. I don't even want to get in that growler bill down there. But that is, in my opinion, that's where I think something like this would really thrive because, like you, I mean, if I get a growler somewhere, I plan on drinking it in 2 days or less because after 2 days, I mean, you're borderlining it going flat anyway, so.
I mean, at most 24 hours. Like, if I get a growler, it's usually, like, on the way home, I stop at Founders, pick up a growler or something, and then go home and drink it. And then usually I'm either drinking it with, you know, my girlfriend Rebecca or a friend. Ooh. Hopefully, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'm not slamming back four beers, but it's been known to happen.
I mean, that's good for you. I don't have a girlfriend or friend, so I just drink one on my own. It's a great thing. But
is okay, too.
No, I hear you, though. Like, Tommyknocker's right on the way back from coming back from snowboarding. So we'll stop at Tommyknocker for a beer and then grab a growler to go. And you know, you don't want to let that shit go to waste because it's delicious.
Yes. So in that regard, I was actually kind of thinking that it was a worthless invention until you brought up the Florida thing. No idea. I had no idea about that.
Well, the other thing I think is
I didn't even look at it that way, I'm saying.
Well, yeah, that's all right. That's what I'm here for, to expand your horizons there, pal.
For sure.
But the other thing I think from my perspective it's cool for is homebrewing. Because I keg a lot of my beer. I just recently started bottling. So it'd be nice to be able to, you know, if someone I trust, obviously, take a growler of beer and be able to send it to some friends and not have to tell them, all right, you need to drink this in 3 days, otherwise you're never getting my beer again.
Yeah.
I think it could be a cool little a tool for that. Or if I'm going somewhere on vacation, I want to take some of my beer with me in a growler, then I can keep it good enough to worry about, you know, draining a growler while driving across the country or something.
I'm going to take this time to. That's really good.
Yeah, I was pretty hammered when I drank it, but I liked it. All right, I'm going to crack my homie too. God, I am talking like a fucking thug. It's killing me. I don't know why.
Maybe it's just your, like, on-air persona. Just take it and run with it.
I don't want to be a thug on my on-air persona. Woo! That's got oak in it. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well played. Didn't even think about that. I might have to use that for a beer name one of these days.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's actually yours. Take it.
All right.
Shit, make an oak beer.
Boom. All right. I'll step up and go for my next. Well, not my next. The next story here. I have a little bit of a theme going tonight. I will be talking most about can-related things because I love cans, whether they be boobies, beers, or cans of soup. It's all the same to me.
Or canned soup shits. Like shitting out like an entire soup can. Well, like, you know, like the okay, you can just go.
I know where you're going with this, and that is not pleasant. I don't want to do that. You have to dilate your beehole to make that happen. That's just.
Yeah, you're just not eating enough fiber at that point.
No, you need
like none at all.
You're not doing it right.
Nope.
My first story is the story of Boston Beer Company switching to can, or not switching, but starting to can their beer, which I feel is kind of crazy, seeing how for years they were, you know, advocating that bottling your beer is the best way to go because you don't get any of the tin flavor, and glass is less likely to impart flavors, and blah, 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 whatever bullshit marketing they thought up to diss cans to, obviously at the time, separate themselves from the big guys. You know, this is before all the mergers, so they were behind Anheuser-Busch, Miller, and Coors. But yeah, so it's an interesting thing that they're finally canning.
Yeah, but they're not doing it with traditional cans.
That is true. And that's, I guess, as much as I'd love to get on board and say, hey, way to go, Sam Adams, I still feel like there's a bit of bullshit surrounding this. I'm looking at the can right now, and basically it has like a wider lip, and it's supposed to have, they don't show a diagram of it, but it's supposed to have a different shaped mouth opening that's supposed to be wider and allow more airflow, I guess, so you get more aroma from the beer, which, I don't know, man. I mean, if you're drinking beer out of a can, you're doing it for one of two reasons. You just don't care, or you're trying to take beer somewhere where glass isn't allowed, or it's easier to, like, drag around with you, you know?
Right. Usually canned beers are supposed to be poured into glasses anyway.
Yeah.
I wonder if it... So they actually said that, like, the what do you call it? The mouth hole of the can is...
Yeah. We'll call it mouth opening. Okay. You shut your mouth hole.
So the mouth hole is supposed to let more aroma out, so you're able to...
Yeah.
Like, smell it. So you're not even supposed to pour it into a glass. They just, like, we just want to make one vessel. They don't even want to make you pour it.
Yeah, they're fully anticipating this to be consumed directly from the can.
Huh.
And, I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't want holes close to my nose where aromas can...
Yeah, you do.
Get by and other things, but you're right. But my social life is not the point of this conversation. So, personally, I still think this is kind of some marketing bullshit. They've patented the can design. Like, they've been working with, I believe it's Ball Industries. I'm sure if I read through this whole article like I should, it would say so. Yeah. I mean, Ball makes, like...
Are you fighting a cat? What is that noise in the background?
I don't know, something my neighbor was just doing. I don't know what that's about. I just try not to ask questions, all right?
I hear you. Just run with it.
I'm sure they wonder what the fuck I'm doing in here half the time talking to myself.
True.
So they were working with their can vendor, who I can only assume is Ball Industries, to make this patented design, and to be the good guys in this story, they're sharing this can design with anyone that wants to do it, aka more business for their supplier, which I'm sure they're getting some benefits or kickbacks there.
Sure.
But I don't know, overall my feeling on this is it's a kind of some bullshit going on, because they dissed cans for so long, and now they're trying to do a little bit of a PR spin by making this patented can and letting anyone use it, because in theory, anyone else that wanted to use this can would have to pay them, you know, royalties, or if someone used it without them, or used this design without their approval, they could sue them. So, I mean, it's like, why patent it if you're just going to let people use it anyway?
Exactly. I'm gonna put a guess out there right now. I'm just gonna put some money on the table. I'm gonna say that in 2 years, canned beer will be at least half the market of bottled beer, if not more. We might be able to accredit a large percentage of that to this. As soon as this news takes off of Sam Adams having this new can that he's giving out for free or whatever like that.
Once this news that we delivered takes off, because we are that much of an influence. It's going to spread like wildfire.
What do you really think of when you think of, like, the craft beer market, like the bigger craft beer names? I only think of two. I think of Sam Adams and Lion and Kugel.
I think,
as far as, like, the most enjoyed mass-produced beers. You know what I'm saying? Like, the most far-reaching, I guess I should say.
personally, I mean, yeah, I would think Sam Adams, Leinenkugel, they got purchased by Miller Coors, man, so they're not, they're out.
As far as, but maybe no, as far as the public eye goes, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, like yeah, they, no. My number two pick would have been Lagunitas.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah. Dude, they're all over the place.
Yeah, that's true.
Or Sierra Nevada.
Sierra Nevada would probably be my third.
I mean, Lagunitas is building a goddamn beer fortress of solitude in Chicago. I mean, I just keep hearing more and more stories about it. And that this thing sounds like it's going to be a ridiculous facility. Like, the tap house is opening, I think, this summer. And it's just, I don't know, it's bummed. That's a whole other story. But yeah.
That's sweet.
But Sam Adams is definitely, I mean, they've been around for, you know, a couple decades in terms of in the public eye and being a fairly recognizably large craft brewery, even though
I think if right,
I would say I don't think they're technically by the American Brewers Association standards a craft brewery anymore either. I think they're, I don't know. I'm getting off a tangent on things I don't know about.
Yeah, but I mean, if they promote this, a lot of people have a special regard for Sam Adams, I think.
Well, yeah.
So, if they do this, maybe, a bunch of other people are going to be like, you know, fuck, well, canned beer is the only beer I'm going to drink. And then a lot of brewers will start being like, okay, well, I guess we're going to have to can our beers. I mean, I think there's a movement like that anyway. I'm just saying that I think this might just put more flame under the ass of the can revolution.
I'm sure it will. I mean, cans are big out here in Colorado. They're starting to pick up steam back in Michigan.
Yeah.
But as of what I've read, there's, 290 different style or not styles, different brands of beer, not necessarily 290 breweries, but 290 types of beers from a handful of breweries that are canned right now. So, I mean,
it's a pretty large number.
I know. And it's gaining popularity now with all the linings in the cans. So you don't get that tinny taste. And, out in Colorado, I mean, people are so active. I mean, between tubing, you know, hiking, biking, I mean, it's way easier to sneak a can of beer in my pocket snowboarding than it is a bottle. So, I mean, that's a big factor for me. So it's, yeah, it's definitely going to be
also, yeah,
an interesting way. My thing, I guess, is with future breweries is they're going to have to invest in the canning technology at their brewing lines. It's not like they're just going to be able to, you know, say one day, hey, let's can 12 of our beers. Because that's going to be a whole equipment investment. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I do like canned beers, though.
Dude, cans are sweet.
Love cans. It's fun. You can take them, like you were saying, you can take them anywhere, hiking. Glass, yeah. You can't really take a lot of places. You can't take glass on the river, or at least you're not supposed to.
Right.
I mean, they have found their way into my cooler and onto the river, but
right.
Definitely not supposed to.
When they started canning Sky High Rye from Arcadia, I about shit my pants in joy. Because I love that beer, and I wanted to take it everywhere glass wasn't supposed to go.
Yeah.
So
speaking of glass, I read an article about a dude who used Bud Light bottles to dry hop and get full flavor. There is a use of Bud Light. So what I'm saying, I'm going to start that off.
That transition was horrible.
I don't fucking care. I just want to get to this article. I'm not good at segues.
We'll get you there. Carry on.
I'll try. Anyway, so he bought a 12-pack of bottles because he read something about how there's a way to dry hop Bud Light, make use of it. So he got it looks like 12 different varieties of hops. Open them up, threw some hops in, threw some hop pellets in, let it sit for 3 days in his closet, and then when he poured them. You know, obviously they were a little flat, but he was able to taste exactly how the hop tastes. So Amarillo is, you know, fruitier, and I think it was Simcoe was piney.
Sure.
Like he has all of the different characteristics of the beer just from, you know, taking the cap off, throwing the hops in, putting the cap back on, writing what hop he threw in on the cap, and then popping it a couple days later. And he was, pretty stoked about it because he was learning a ton about the hops. Which, shit, I have to fucking do that.
Dude, I want to. I mean, I brew my own beer, so it's like, if I could get a really clear idea of, you know, the hop profile of these things. I mean, you know, from a brewing standpoint, this obviously would just give the aroma and, like, the late, you know, dry hopping flavors of it. It wouldn't give you any bitterness because that all happens in the boil. But, I mean, a bunch of the flavor and aroma just comes from dry hopping and very late hop additions, and that'll give you just kind of a rough idea of what you're looking at. That's fucking genius. And yeah, anyone that can make a usefulness out of Bud Light, God bless his heart, man.
Yeah, I know. Actually finding a use for a beer like that.
Other than throwing at hippies, man, that's about the only thing I can...
I was going to say other than shotgunning or like doing beer bongs. I've just got my mind on that.
That's fair enough.
Edward 40 hands. Actually, you know what? I think that would just pussify Edward. He might as well just be drinking water. Edward water hands, and that's not nearly as cool sounding. He was saying that he mixed, I don't know what these are, CTZ. It's obviously a hop thing. Simcoe, Columbus, and a splash of Amarillo, and sure enough, it tasted like Bud Light flavored Pliny.
Bud Light flavored Pliny?
That's what he said.
That is the biggest oxymoron ever stated on the internet.
I was going to say Pliny flavored Bud Light. If I had to write that, I would definitely say Pliny flavored Bud Light. Because if you had a Bud Light flavored Pliny, you would have...
I would have a fit. Like, I would. There would be
fucking water. You'd be pissed when you drank it.
There would be a beer bottle broken over someone's head if I had a Bud Light flavored Pliny.
Bouncers would be the first target.
Well, if they tried to subdue me,
they tried to kick you out. I don't want to drink a whole boot of beer.
I don't want to get into semantics. Leave me alone about my boot of beer. All right. That'll be a story for another episode.
Definitely. Actually, maybe we can bring that up in trivia.
I know three people that'll know the answer to that question
right away.
Not including you.
Well, I'm gonna be doing the trivia right alongside of you.
Oh, I know. And I'm not gonna explain what we're talking about at all for anyone listening. So they're gonna be like, "What the fuck are they talking about?"
Exactly.
So,
Sam bashed beer bottle over a bouncer's head one time after he drank a beer.
You were like fucking Pam and Archer. You just can't keep your mouth shut, can you? Oh God, we hate Pam. All right, well, if you're not gonna shut up about stuff I did in my past, I got another story. Do you have anything else you want to say?
Not gonna shut up. Not gonna shut up.
Do you have anything else you want to say about your little hoppy story there?
No, good Easter pun though.
Fuck Easter.
It was a good pun for Easter.
Yeah. Yeah. Hoppy. Or just anything hoppy beer in general and shit.
Yeah.
Oh.
Or just getting drunk because it's another day and Easter doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah. That's pretty much what I did. Mm-hmm. All right. So sticking to my can theme today, this one is titled Beer Cans Will Never Be the Same. And this has to do with Sly Fox Brewing Company making a can that is actually resealable, which is actually pretty badass. It's called the 360 really cool lid. So, I mean, this is kind of a game changer. And going along with what Pete said in terms of the can revolution taking over, I think this will take footing to an extent in helping that. God, does that even make sense? I don't know. I was just saying words. But basically, what you do is instead of cracking open a hole in the lid of the can, it lets you completely remove the top, and you actually have kind of like an aluminum beer cup. Personally, I feel like Sam Adams is going to be pissed and bitter and just downright upset because, you know, talking about the hole opening for more aroma, this basically kicks...
That's a giant mouth hole.
Yeah, exactly. This is the biggest mouth hole you can get. So...
Is it actually going to be like an aluminum resealable thing? Like, can you take the aluminum piece that you peel off and put it back on? I thought it would be like bent. So when you say resealable, does it come with like a little plastic lid or what?
It actually, it's resealable with the aluminum lid from what it looks like. It has not like a full on, like, you know, how like a regular twist off bottle, like a glass bottle, has three or four rows of
threading.
This one looks like it has like two, so it's a quick seal, and it's obviously not going to be very solid.
Oh.
But it's more of a, just a link lock. That's what the photo looks like.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have a lot of questions for them. Like, actually, I won't have any questions because, I mean, Miller Lite's already done this, haven't they? Coors Light has done it, too.
Well, yeah, but they're shaped like a bottle. So it's still different.
Yeah.
In a sense. But, I mean, this isn't the first resealable aluminum vessel that has been thrown out there.
True. So. I thought it was like a fucking can of cat food or like a can of peaches where it just had like like a little hook or tab or whatever, and you'd pull it and it just popped the top off the can, and then it wasn't resealable at that point unless you had like something that you had bought to reseal it specifically for the can.
Well, here.
And then now I'm imagining drinking cat food, and that's never.
I just sent it to you if you want to look at it on Skype to get an idea of the picture.
Okay.
Honestly, I can't tell if this picture has been... Well, this picture's obviously been doctored up because there's beams of light streaming from the can.
That's not even doctored at all.
No, you're right. This isn't doctored up. Anytime you open this can, a fucking...
It looks like the briefcase from fucking Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, I know.
Every time you open this beer.
Anytime you open it up, a choir from heaven just starts singing Beethoven's Ninth. But if you look closely, you can see where the lips are on the top, and on the lid itself. So, actually, they don't explain it, but I wonder if it's sealed. You know, I don't know. They don't explain how it's opened on this thing at all. So I just
completely remove the top. The first beer to go. It looks like they're peeling it off.
I know, and that goes to what you were saying earlier. Like, if you bend the top, it's fucking useless.
Yeah.
But I think they're, I don't know. I can't explain it.
They're not saying it's resealable, though, on this.
What?
They didn't say it was resealable in the article that you sent me.
Maybe it's not resealable.
I think it is just going to be like a can of peaches or a can of cat food. Awesome, regardless. I'll definitely try that.
Oh.
I mean, because who wants to put a cat back onto their can of beer anyway? I mean, once you... fucking pop the top of a can of beer, like, you're gonna drink it.
Well, that's what I was wondering. It's 12 ounces. I'm like, who wants to save 12 ounces?
You could do that in 4 seconds if you had to.
Yeah. All right, well, who's an idiot of the day? That'd be me.
Nah. No, don't say that.
I know that tone of voice.
You're just illiterate.
My illiteracy has screwed us again. All right, let's move on to the next story, because now my credibility is just fucked in the butt.
Okay, well, can I do my terrible segue into the next story?
Yeah, speaking of morons, how's your segue?
So, something that isn't resealable are beer taps. So, a lot of bars have been adopting self-serve beer taps. I mean, it's been a trend in the last probably 3 years. I know I've heard about it at bars, but... there's companies that now are trying to take advantage of that. They're really trying to put that into bars and implement them for the patrons because it comes with a lot of advantages. Like, for one, in one article it says that the guy got to try 7 different samplings of beers. You know, he poured only 1 ounce little samples. And he paid like $7. He paid like $1 for 7, you know, dollar piece for 7 beers. Whereas he said that he went to another bar the week before and had tried 6 or 7 beers and ended up paying $50 for the tab, which seems like an outrageous fucking amount for 7 beers, but it's in New York, so whatever. Yeah. So, I don't know. I can see a lot of mixed reviews coming from this. I could see, like, bartenders being kind of happy they don't have to pour 1,000 pints of Bud Light every football game. But at the same time... since they're not pouring it, they're not getting the tips from those people either.
Yeah.
Like, you're kind of cutting the middleman out, such, you know, like, I guess self-serve grocery lines and stuff like that, like self-scanning, that comes with mixed reviews too, because I've had people, when I used to work at Home Depot, people would come through my line and be like, I'm not letting no fucking robot scan my shit and take my money. Like, I can see a lot of people doing that too, just wanting to actually talk to a real person.
Did you work at Home Depot in the South or something?
No, everybody talks like that who's in Home Depot. It's okay. Like, you come through the doors and you talk like that. Everybody you come through my line that would say that sounded like that.
Okay.
I'm going to go back to my fucking bomb shelter and watch World War II videos.
Yeah.
So I can see this coming with a lot of mixed reviews. I mean, for the sake of sampling beers, I think that's pretty cool.
I mean,
you don't have to piss off a bartender by being like, I'll sample 18 of your beers, please.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you're not at a beer bar where they expect that, I'm sure that's got to be kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like the crowd that's really into craft beer right now, I mean, it's honestly, it's people our age, like mid-20s up into their 30s. And, you know, I'm sure there's people in like their 40s and stuff that are into it too. But that burp had no indication how I feel about people in their 40s. I love people in their 40s. But, you know, the really old people that you so adeptly described coming through your Home Depot line, I don't feel like they're going to be sampling a lot of craft beer. So, you know, this self-service thing is, plus, I mean, they're used to soda fountains, I'm sure, where you can serve your own pop. I mean, that's not anything new. It's just a different product going through it.
Right. And I mean, a lot of things that I read, they're talking about installing them at tables. Like, you know, having two kegs for each of these, like, special tables that would have, like, the pour your own beer thing for, like, parties and stuff like that that would come in. And that would make it so the servers wouldn't have to bust their ass running around refilling beers and stuff like that, you know?
Can you imagine how shit-faced we would have been at, like, say, your 21st birthday if we would have had a self-serving tap at the table instead of having to order through the waitress the whole night?
No.
We wouldn't have made it from the first bar, man. We would have made it from the first bar. You would have fallen face down into your cake.
I would have fallen and then face down into the cab. Hopefully that would have been there to take me home.
Yeah.
Before I puked all over my sidewalk.
Yeah, well, your sidewalk had it coming.
Yeah. So did my stairs in my bed, my couch, and my bathroom.
Oh, that's, you didn't get it all out where you needed to, did you?
That wasn't even my 22nd. That was just like sometime in my 23rd year of life.
That was just somewhere in the 20s.
No, it's all a blur, man. From 21 to now, it's just a total blur. What am I saying? From 14 to now, it's been a blur.
See, I was going to say, that sounds like most of my 20s. Like, the whole decade's just kind of, this is sad. I'm not talking about this.
Yeah, we're going to get way too deep and just start crying.
Yeah, I don't have enough beer in me to cry, so that's not a problem.
Okay, that's good. I might.
No, I look forward to seeing if this actually starts catching on, because of the whole aspect that guy was saying, like, with the beer bar, where if you want to try a sample of a beer, pour yourself an ounce. Try an ounce. You get charged by the ounce or whatever they deem charge worthy. And I think that's a cool aspect, coming from, if you just want to try a lot of different beers in a night instead of paying $5 or $6 for one beer at a time, because God knows I have racked up some bills and be like, I want to try everything you got. And after the third one, I don't even know what I'm tasting anyway, so it's a fucking waste.
And yeah, exactly.
$60 on two beers I actually remember.
But I mean, at least they have the count, like the measurements right, and they have the way that you're charged right, because they have like RFID bands that you put on.
Oh, nice. And that's
pretty they
cool
have
technology, actually.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. And then the measurements are based on like a tenth of an ounce. An ounce. I sound like I have a lisp. An ounce. So, I mean, if you pour within a tenth of an ounce, I don't know how the charging works. I don't know the pay scale or anything like that. But that's how accurate the technology is, at least for that. So that's pretty neat.
So you get that guy that just goes up and just starts sucking straight from the tit of the tap and taking forever. It's like, hey, dude, this isn't where you do a keg stand.
Without the RFD band, I totally do that. Go up and just start fucking doing a reverse keg stand.
Would we be able to hold you up so you don't fall flat on your face?
Like, I wouldn't have to do that. I'd just get drunk and fall on my face anyway. And get beer on my shirts.
I gotta put that video up somewhere.
You have to find that video and put it back
up. Oh, dude, I know exactly where it is. I just reorganized my external hard drive, so I watched it like 5 times a couple weeks ago.
So there's this one time that Sam got a kegger, and had a keg of moose head, and I had two people that were going to hold me up to do a keg stand, and
I'm pretty sure I was guys, one of them.
Yeah, one of the guys, I don't know who it was, let go of my leg, and I fell. And got beer fucking everywhere. Like, went, did just a header into the snow.
He went limp, man. It was awkward.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty bad. I didn't know what to expect. It was my first keg stand.
You know, given the circumstances, you handle it like a champ.
I thought that you guys were just going to be sort of holding my weight, and I was going to be doing, like...
That's typically what a keg stand is.
Yeah, but I didn't know I had to put so much...
Oh, that's right.
So much of my weight was going to be on my arms is what I'm saying.
Right, you thought we were actually going to dangle you by your ankles. Like, hanging you over the edge of, like...
Like, I was going to be hanged upside down, pretty much.
Yeah, well...
Not the case.
Live and learn. Segway, not a keg stand.
Find that video.
I will... Fuck yeah, I'll find that. I'll put that up on YouTube. I can't believe I haven't yet, to be honest with you.
It's on MySpace for a while. But anyway, speaking of MySpace...
Speaking of MySpace and dead... Justin Timberlake owns MySpace, and okay, well, my segue sucks even more. My final can-related...
I didn't set you up with one. That's kind of what I was trying to do, is set you up with the shittiest segue you could possibly have.
I don't think on my toes nearly quick enough to do something with that, so well played. my last little story here is more of an announcement and joy. It's a point of joy and... sadness for me, because Founders is canning their all-day IPA.
Woo!
I know. It's great for you, awful for me, because I can't get it. But I love to see that Founders is joining the canned revolution.
The revolution will be televised.
It will be.
Or drank. I don't know. I was trying to think of something cool to say this entire time about that, and that's really all I could come up with.
Well, you almost...
How shitty is that? Like, why am I even doing this? If that's the best I can come up with.
No, don't worry. It always gets better. I thought, never mind. Isn't that a Norma Jean song? Oh, that's The End of All Things Will Be Televised.
Yeah.
Never mind. Anyway, so I think it's awesome that the All Day IPA is their first foray into it, because, I mean, the label alone speaks that this beer is meant to be taken with you places. I mean, it's a Jeep with a canoe on it. It's not even a Jeep. It's an old, I mean, it's not a station wagon, but it's like an old Jeep.
Hatchback.
Whatever, woody fucking
station wagon.
Dealio. Yeah. So I think that's badass. And Founders still, even though I've been out here for, actually it's been over 6 months now, Founders is still my favorite brewery. I'm sure it's the fondness, since they were one of my first real craft beer haunts. And I spent a lot of years and a lot of money in their bar.
It was money well spent, though.
Yeah, and I think that it's cool that they're getting into, like I said, into canning. This is the first can they've got.
Dude, you know you will have a 12-pack being shipped out to you this summer.
12, sweet.
I mean, I hope they sell it in, like, the cardboard box 12ers. If they do, that's totally coming out to you. Whatever, regardless of what they sell it in, that's coming out to you.
I'm hoping what this leads to, and I'm not trying to move on, because I love that idea of getting a 12er of this. I hope they start canning other beers. I'd love to eventually see, like, Red's Rye in a can, or, you know, their Centennial, or, you know, basically any of their mainstays would be awesome.
Spite Breakfast Out?
That would be sweet.
I'd love to see Spite in a bottle, though, first. I'd love to see it in any sort of canned or bottled
state. Yeah, I'd like to see it anything outside of the tap room.
Yeah, I do. Spite is Founders' very, very spicy offering that I just cannot get enough of. It's usually brewed with, like, habaneros and jalapenos and serranos. And
I forget you like that stuff.
Best fucking peppers in the world, and I am just obsessed with it, dude.
I need to send you a couple of the ones I can get out here. There's one from Twisted Pine called Billy's Chilies. That's pretty good. I actually like it. It tastes just like a pepper. Even though it's
hook
rooted.
Me up with those beers. I
will.
Love those beers.
And you know what? I'm pissed now. I actually saw a bottle of Twisted Pie makes another one that's even hotter called Ghost Face Killa.
Nice.
And it's made with like the ghost pepper.
I've seen that before.
Yeah. Next time I see it, I'll grab it up and I'll send them to you because you're the only other person that I can think of that actually enjoys pepper beer. Like, I like them because I like spicy stuff and I like the flavor of peppers in general. So if a beer can taste like a pepper and give a little bit of a kick without really melting my face, then I'm all right with that.
Two favorite things in life, hot sauce and beer. If you can find a way to mix those or at least mix the ingredients of those, that's just like top three material in my life right now.
Yeah. So how are we going to segue from spicy beer to whatever it is you're going to talk about now?
The end of the podcast. That's what I'm going to talk about right now. That's it.
Oh, that was it?
That's it. We just hit the brick wall. That's all the articles.
Nice.
This was Beer and Loathing Podcast Episode 1. You can find us on the web at www.beerandloathing.com. That's beerandloathing.com. Have a good night and thank you for listening.